It's time for your Sunrise Guys.
Let me come in.
Oh, come on in, Swag. Water's warm in here, buddy.
Why don't you come on in.
Dirt and Sprague.
I'm going to configure your widget.
I'm all alone over here. I feel like I'm in the corner watching right now.
It's breakfast time.
Hey. Swag's going to go configure Dirt's widget.
Oh, my Lord.
Dirt and Sprague.
He configured both our widgets.
Oh, buddy.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three, Dirt and Sprague here, Portland sports leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, The Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody. That's the Fan Sports Network, and we got a lot to get to over the next 2 hours of radio. We're hoping, and fingers crossed, that our guy, John Bloom, the radio voice of the Phoenix Suns.
I can't tell if he's on the phone with him.
I think I got a thumb. We got a thumbs up.
Look, so at time
that
was right.
Time differences don't matter.
We caught it.
Tomato, tomato.
I know.
8 a.m. is 8 a.m. Whether
yep.
you're in Phoenix. We did have, by the way, we have a listener in Phoenix when this came up a couple segments ago. It's like, yeah, it's 7:30
yeah.
right now. I
yep.
can confirm I'm in Phoenix.
There we go.
So let's talk to the radio voice of the Phoenix Suns. As Portland is down in Phoenix tonight for the play-in 7-8 matchup. Winner gets the 7 seed. The loser has to play again for their playoff lives on Friday. John Bloom is our guest at John Bloom on Twitter. You go give him a follow there. John, good morning to you. Longtime radio voice of the Suns. And nice to know that we kind of confuse our time differences are way off, and what does Arizona do? What time are we? So we're glad we got this all squared away. I do want to ask you about the game tonight, but I need to ask first because my co-host just pointed out to me, you got to call the Masters for 12 years? What? Explain, and how cool of an experience was that?
Oh, well, first of all, thanks for having me, guys. The Masters is everything that you have heard about, I'm sure. I'm not going to be the first one to tell you about the Augusta National Golf Club. But for me, I was involved in golf broadcasting for a long time. And when I started working for CBS, that was the goal. I got to get to Augusta. And I think it was year two. Actually, year one, they told me, well, someone's got to die is how you're going to get there.
Wow, that's a little morbid.
I'm not – yeah, I don't want to, you know, root for that to happen. But, you know, if it does, I'll take the spot, right? And then I get the call. And it wasn't on air. So I've always been an on-air guy, mostly radio, but I've done TV too. And this was a situation where, like, I'm going to go be a part of the crew. I don't care what they have me. I'll clean the latrine. I don't care
right.
what they have me do. I will do whatever they tell me to do if it takes me to Augusta for the week of the Masters. So, yeah, I did 12 years of that behind the scenes. It was awesome. I was also starting a golf business at the time, so it made a lot of sense for me to kind of take a week off from the NBA gig and go out there and do that. But now it's the voice of the Suns. And actually, during those years, while I was in Augusta, there was a lot of soul searching. And I was thinking, you know, someday I hope, this is probably after the first four or five when the novelty had worn off, I'm like, you know, someday I hope my job with the Suns keeps me from coming here.
Mm.
And eventually I was able to get the full-time play-by-play job, and now I'm where I've always dreamed of being. So that's how that all played out.
So did you ever get any kind of hitting the actual golf ball at the range or on the course experience one time in the 12 years? Did you ever have that one moment?
I still haven't played the course. It's a great question. I am definitely honing in on finding a way to get there and do it because I do have some friends who are still in it.
There you go.
And so I'm hopeful that that happens. It hasn't happened yet. I've always said in my back of my mind, like, I want to have my game at that tip-top shape when I do finally make it there to play, having covered so many Masters and walked up and down those fairways so many times. I have so many great stories, but none of them include me playing, which is probably a good thing because I would probably ruin it with my horrible temper on the golf course.
Hey, I love these stories, man. This is fun. John Bloom, radio voice of the Suns. He's getting ready to call a play-in game tonight as our Portland Trailblazers are down there for the 7-8 matchup. I'm curious, John, like, looking from afar at Phoenix the last handful of years, we see a team who got really close, got to an NBA Finals. You get an ownership change, this injection of let's be aggressive, and you bring some big-name players in. It doesn't quite work out. There's been some up in our neck of the woods going back the last calendar year that have kind of poked fun at Phoenix of like, uh-oh, Ishbia doesn't know what he's doing. Look at that. They're going to be a disaster this year, and here they are better than us in terms of wins and losses. We'll see how the game plays out tonight. I'm just curious, though, based on the last handful of years, because Phoenix has gotten a taste of greatness, and they've been close to, you know, getting over the mountaintop. Where's the excitement level for this team, and where's the city at for tonight's game? Is it a much ado about nothing? Is it, hey, this was a positive surprise, let's get in on it? Like, I'm just curious where the city's at for the matchup tonight.
That's a great question. And actually, it has been a wild ride because I think, okay, let's just start when Matt Ishbia takes over the team. They go get Kevin Durant, and they're trying to kind of, you know, pick up where the Suns took them to the finals in 21. And, you know, it just didn't work. Obviously, basketball is a team sport. I think you guys know that very well, and have a great fan base up there in Portland. Always love going there for Hoops games because people just know the game. And there are certain areas of this country where that's the case. And I think that, you know, Phoenix fits in that too, because the Suns are the number one franchise still in this city. Yes, we have a football team. They've been miserable, probably don't deserve to be in the NFL anymore, but they still are. We've got a baseball team. It's been up and down. And yet it's the basketball team that's number one here. So riding that wave of bringing in a star like Kevin Durant and failing the way that they did, and I'm going to just come out and say it was a failure the last couple of years. But I would say that Matt Ishbia, much like if you've got kids, you know that the best way they're going to learn is through failure. And he did learn that that was not the way to build the team. So what did they do? They kind of went back to the roots of it and said, who's the guy we're building around? It's Devin Booker. That's the guy this city absolutely adores. There's a lot of reasons for that. We can get into that another time. But the bottom line is Devin Booker means a lot more to Phoenix than he does, let's say, to other NBA cities. They just don't realize what he's done here in the Valley, being in his 11th season here. We've watched him grow up. He was the youngest player in the league when they drafted him in 2015. He was, you know, just barely 18 years old. And so he just is a fabric of this city now. And so when you build around him and you put the right guys around him and you get a coach that he endorses, now he's fully bought in and everybody else in that room bought in. And that was the probably the biggest surprise for me, guys, is because Jordan Knott came here without much of a pedigree. He was a longtime assistant coach. They did an exhaustive search with a number of names that would be household names as far as potential coaches after just firing two guys that won championships in Frank Vogel and Mike Budenholzer. So now they get this guy in Jordan Knott, and everybody's wondering what's going to happen in Phoenix. And all the expectations were low. So if Vegas is saying you're going to win 30 games, most of your fan base is going to jump on that and say, wow, we're going to be garbage this season. But they weren't, and they weren't from the start. Mm-hmm. And they played hard, and they engaged the fan base in a way that basketball teams do, unlike any other sporting team, I think, in because you just attach yourself. You see them, their entire selves on the floor, right? When you're at a game, you get up close and you see how enormous these dudes are. But at the same time, you see the game in a different way than you do when you go to a football game or a baseball game or a hockey game. So the way this team has captured this town is special, and I think you'll feel it tonight. And look, they've been the seventh seed all season. You'd stay there so that you get the opportunity to host a game like this, right? It means something to be the home team for a one game means all type situation. Now, it doesn't mean all, because if Portland loses, you get that home game. And that's why the Blazers moving to eighth is so meaningful, right? Because they can host that game and have a chance to bring their fans into this and win that eighth spot and go take on the Oklahoma City Thunder and potentially shock the world. That's what I'm hoping happens so that the Suns handle their business tonight, because I know neither team wants to go to Oklahoma City, especially on a short clock, right? I mean, look what the NBA is doing to them. You play Friday night, and then you got an early game at OKC on Sunday. So, yeah, the better alternative by far for the Suns is win tonight, but they know it's not going
to
be easy. Yeah.
Kind of a two-parter for you. Like, how truly depressed was it to be around that team last year? Because it felt like from up here, the national narrative was nailing it of just this team hates it, you know, each other. It's not good. They had to move on from Kevin Durant. They make the trade. And I'm really curious to get your thoughts on how difficult the beginning was to have to root for Dylan Brooks, and then now how easy they love Dylan the villain now that he's had the season he's had.
Exactly. You guys know as well as anybody about that guy's trajectory in his career. And I know it started in college, but in this situation, you know, the Suns needed such a dramatic shift when they made the trade. And that was as dramatic as you could get. That's actually, you know, you're talking about Dylan Brooks, and I know I'm skipping past the first question, and you're going to have to remind me what it is because I'm already on this train. but, you know, he is such a polarizing character. And yet, as you said, when you have him in your gym wearing your uni, you love the dude. And there's so many reasons why. And so that has happened here in Phoenix. Now, him missing a lot of the games is a reason why I think the Suns ended up seventh and not higher. That could have been in that mix for 3-6 that was jumbled up for so many months. But, you know, there were a lot of injury factors for this team. And the good news for the Suns now is that they are probably as healthy as they've been all season. And that's the time you want to be that when you're getting ready for when it really matters most. Remind me what the first question was.
Just how truly depressing it was to be around the Kevin Durant era Suns at the
end.
There's
a reason I ignored that. There's a reason I skipped right past that. I tried blacking it out. It was that brutal. I mean, honestly, last year was miserable. And it wasn't that the guys hated each other, to be honest with you. Players did not hate each other at all.
They were just
kind of indifferent. They were indifferent. They never came together as a team. The coach was an absolute disaster. I'm not going to sugarcoat it at all.
Yeah.
They just hired the wrong coach. He turned everybody off. It was bizarre because he was a guy that was beloved in this area. He's a native son of Arizona, and he won a title against the Suns, right, in 2021 with the Bucks. And then they bring him here, and he just absolutely turned everybody off, everybody, including the team. It was bizarre. And then he got sent packing. So, you know, that's the way I guess it goes. But it was a 36-win team that, honestly, I believe you, the three of us could have, like, gone on a bender, set up a program, and won 36 games with that team, you know, as coaches. We could have done that, but we didn't. And we lived through it. And, again, it was a failure of massive proportion for this team. But they have bounced back in a way I don't think anybody expected.
Well, it's one of those things, too, I think, as a fan or somebody who's covering the team and all, you know, obviously working and calling games. Like, if you're going to make a mistake, the only thing you can ask is that you pivot out of it quickly. And they clearly were
they
like,
did.
All right, that didn't work. Let's scrap it. And here they are back. And I, you know, it reminds me, we had a year years ago in Portland where everybody left in free agency. LaMarcus Aldridge left. And it was like, oh my God, we're screwed. And then Wes Matthews left and Nick Batum and all these guys. It was like Lillard was the only one left. And the next year they became kind of this fun, up and coming, feisty, play hard every night team. And they made the playoffs. And so you talking about this year's Suns team kind of reminds me of that Blazers team from a handful of years back. I'm curious, we know how special Devin Booker is. He's played in big games in his career. You know, last game of the year for him against Dallas, he goes for 37, you know, on 13 and 27 from the floor in 37 minutes. What are we expecting from him tonight, and how big of an impact on the game do you think he'll have? Because I know Portland defensively would throw the kitchen sink at him.
And you have very effective kitchen sinks to throw at him. I mean, I'm not even going to call Tumani and Drew kitchen sinks. I'm going to call them Booker stoppers because both those guys have showed that they can do it. And that is part of the reason why this matchup's daunting, I think, for a lot of Suns fans and you know, people that are looking at it saying, well, yeah, Portland definitely has an opportunity here tonight to come in and steal the seventh seed. Where I think that Devin Booker will rise to the occasion is just based on history and seeing what he's done when it really matters. And he doesn't need to put this team on his shoulders. I don't think that that's necessary the way this team is built. You know, there's been times where he's been off and other guys have picked him up. Maybe it's been a Dylan Brooks who's had his best offensive performance of his career this season. Jalen Green's come in the second half of the season after missing most of the year with the hamstring, and he has had some big moments. And I think Devin Booker has built trust in those guys in addition to the guys he's already had trust in, like Grayson Allen. Don't know whether he's going to go tonight because he's the one question mark. Royce O'Neal, who's been a great three-point shooter again and a phenomenal kind of veteran for this team. They call him Unk. He's the one old guy who, 32 years old, he's old. But that's what this team is. That's how they're built. And I know that you have a similar situation there. But Devin Booker is going to be the guy. He's going to be the one to set the tone in his own way. Obviously, this is his team. And yet, at the same time as I say that, I think there's a lot of eyes on Dylan Brooks and what he does to affect the game because he still is that guy, that tone setter, in a totally different way.
You have no idea what you accidentally just did, John. We kicked off our show, and my co-host said 34 is old, and we'd put a poll question up, and then you said Unk is 32 and he's old. And
you
my,
just proved my entire
you
argument,
just proved
John.
His entire
You're my
argument
favorite. I think we're gonna go play Augusta together now, me and you, buddy.
Let's get it. Let's get you out of here on this because we appreciate you waking up early and doing this. We know you got a lot to get to today. You teased it, and I know you don't always want to give us the tea leaves of what's happening in the inner workings of the Suns, so let's get away from the organization you work for. What's the juiciest fun story you have from your time at Augusta?
Ooh, wow. I'm going to go with, okay, this is my favorite because it was my first, and it was 2005, and it's a moment I think we all remember. So Tiger Woods is hitting the chip on 16, okay? Do I need to say more than that?
Nope.
Okay, you guys know what shot I'm talking about.
Yeah.
He's over the green. Yeah, there's no chance, right? He's not going to get it up and down. And he makes that Nike ball sit on the edge. and then drop in, and it's just a legendary golf moment. Well, I'm in the truck with Dick Enberg, the legendary Dick Enberg, who at the time, his whole job with CBS was writing the essay, the video essay that you would see at the end of the tournament. That would basically, it's almost like one shining moment at the end of the NCAA tournament, right? Except it was Dick Enberg writing it and talking and voicing it. And it happened, I don't know how many years he did this for CBS, but this was one of them, and it happened to be my first year there, and it happened to be one of the most epic moments in the history of golf. And I'm in the truck, and everybody is riding, you know, everybody's ready for the tournament to end one way. Tiger hits that shot, and everything changed. So now Dick has to rewrite his whole essay. And I just happen to be sitting near him as a rookie, and he's bouncing ideas off of me. And I'm sitting there going, is this really happening? Am I really here right now? This was all the most kind of surreal moment that I had at Augusta. And it wasn't even on the grounds. It was in the darn truck in the compound. Wow. But it was amazing. And we all were watching together, and we were all taking this in together. And then you see the guys in the booth react the way they do, the Jim Nantz. And at that point, it was, I'm totally,
I think it was Vern Lundquist on the call of it, wasn't it?
Vern was at 16, without a doubt.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
In your life.
In your life.
In your life. Yeah.
No, I think to me that'll be the memory that I take with me forever, just because of all the different elements that went into it. But yeah, it was fascinating. I mean, the response from that truck, and I'm going to guess there were maybe a dozen people, and they're all working and normally never making a noise other than saying exact like directions on what to do. If you've ever been like involved in a golf broadcast, it is the most intricate, ridiculous event to try to broadcast when there's that many balls in the air at the same time, so many guys playing all at once, and you've got to direct it and produce it in a certain fashion so that the viewers know what the heck's going on. It's not easy. And so all that's happening, and Tiger hits that shot, and that truck nearly exploded with how loud it was in there. I mean, just everybody's response to a shot like that. And so I remember all that, and I remember the Dick Enberg thing like it was yesterday, and I will not forget that.
John has immediately risen up the leaderboard of favored guests that we've had. Best friend of the program. Great Augusta stories. Beautiful. Kitchen sink talk. This needs to become a permanent thing.
It's too bad we have to root against him.
We have to root against you tonight, but then, you know, we're not rooting for you to die. But if it happens, it's all right. John Bloom, at John Bloom on Twitter. Suns Radio Voice. Have a great call tonight, John. Thank you for the great stories, and hopefully we can do this again soon.
Well, thank you for having me, and I just want to say to all the Blazers fans out there, you guys have one of the best. Travis Demers is one of my favorites, play-by-play voice in the league, and you guys got a quality dude there.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks, John. Enjoy the game tonight.
Take it easy.
There you go. John Bloom, the voice of the Phoenix Suns.
From not knowing he was going to be on the show
to that.
A fun conversation like that. 12
years ago. Imagine sitting next to Dick Enberg in a production truck. One of the icons of broadcasting. Ideas off of you?
How many times has he gotten housed and just told people, you know, I co-wrote that, Dick Enberg?
Yeah, I was there.
I bounced all those ideas off of me.
I know exactly what he's talking about. They do a Masters documentary every year for it. They're like an hour long. I have watched almost every single one of them.
And now you know which one to go rewatch
now John
today.
John was the one that was writing it.
I'm
going to
go rewatch the 05 one.
05 Masters film. God, good stuff. John Bloom.
You're welcome.
That one out of the park. Well done, everybody. We'll have some more thoughts on the game. We're going to have a Diet Johnson segment next, and it's coming up on The Fan. All right, welcome back in. It is 8:26.
We needed our older boss to come in here and
coming up next,
pipe dirt down for being so damn old.
He knows I made good arguments too.
You're good. You have a couple good arguments, but they're not going to change start times for the arguments.
No, they won't. They'll never change start times.
People don't really work anymore, and kids don't go to school. Those are two valid things.
Dude, looking around my neighborhood, it's like every rant. Like there's like one day every other week. I'm like, it's a Monday at 11:30. Why are they out?
And that was yesterday. My kids didn't have school.
I'll see one of the kids and be like, why aren't you in school today? Ah, it's a service day. Ah, it's a grading day. Ah, it's what?
Well, you just get kids now that just straight up don't go to school, and you're like, why aren't they at school? And they're like, I just don't feel it. The vibes aren't right. Wake up.
My cheese off.
Yeah, dude. They start pointing all the moon's only half.
Look, the main argument that I will have.
Look, it's quadratic equation day, and you're going to get your little ass
into school. Damn it. That's what I'm talking about, Swigard. But one of my main arguments, too, like, I'm curious to ask you this. So the game starts at 7. Your girls are into basketball a little bit. Are they follow the Blazers or mainly WNBA?
They will watch this game, not like as closely as I will, okay. But they'll watch this game.
So we'll have it on. Will they stay up for the end of the game?
My oldest doesn't basically have a bedtime.
Okay.
And we just go be responsible. And sometimes
go to bed when you want to go to bed.
Sometimes it's 11.
Yeah. Deal with the consequences.
My youngest.
It's very free ball parenting. I kind of like that.
Well, you deal with your own consequences.
Well, also, too, like, I think it was mainly when you send a kid that age to bed, you can't make them go to bed.
She's 14.
Yeah, like, yeah. You're...
My bedtime's earlier than hers.
You can
what
go to your room
do?
And sit in your room,
yes.
But who's to say you're not going to go to bed?
Right.
Right.
And she's got a 4.0 GPA, so I don't really have anything to worry about.
14-year-old, yeah.
Responsible.
I'm, maybe a little bit younger, I think, would be the better comp of, like, the game's probably not, because the game won't start at 7. It'll start slightly after 7. What time is that? I don't know.
What time do you think, Swag, this game ends? Because he thinks this game's ending well. Well past 10. I think by 9:40.
I said around 10 o'clock. I think the game ends.
Barring overtime or something of that nature, 9:40.
Yeah. Okay, so you're with me.
Okay.
Harper Trout, 9:40s. Look at us today. Not old. 34. Dirt's on all Lone Island here.
Oh, I'll be the old man here.
But my youngest, if she wanted to stay up and watch the whole game, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense. 14-year-old's probably a bad comp. I asked Dusty that because his kids are a little bit younger.
I'm not a strict bedtime guy.
I know his son is into, like, his son's getting super into sports, and he's following and watching. He's down at Duck Games and all that. He's playing. And so that's the kind of comp I'm thinking of, like a 7 or 8-year-old who wants to watch. If you're 7 or 8, think about this for a second.
Yeah.
You've never watched a Blazer playoff game in your lifetime.
Nope.
This is the first one.
Yep.
And that's my question. If your kid is in that age, will they stay up and watch the end of the game with you tonight?
It's a play-in game, by the way.
That's not
they still wouldn't have watched a playoff game if they watched it tonight.
It's the first four.
I would say of all the areas I'm a parent, bedtime is the thing I least care about.
Yeah.
Mainly
because... Have you always been that way, or is that a now-that-they're-older thing?
Yeah, I mean, like, when they're super young, they're in kindergarten, you got to have a structure here, but, like, one's, you know, almost out of elementary school, and the other one's going into high school.
Yeah.
And I hated the way my mom handled bedtime.
Yeah, too strict.
And I'm one of those, like, whatever I experienced that I didn't like as a kid
pivot.
Yeah, I'd pivot out. I wouldn't, like, double down. I'm not going to be the dad who got beat by his dad, and then I turn around and beat my kid. Well, that's what happened to me! Like, I'm not going to be that parent. I'm going to be the opposite of that. How awful was that? I'm not going to do it. So bedtime in our house is like...
Loosey-goosey.
It's an open-ended conversation.
Whenever you want to go to bed, you go to bed.
You know, usually the wife and I are going to bed saying goodnight to the kids, shutting the door.
Don't stay up too late.
Well, I mean, you know, we're going to make sweet love. It's got to be a respectable hour
proving
here.
His point.
And you're proving my point. You're getting old.
No.
You're old. You're going to bed.
No, look.
8 o'clock. Oh, I got to go to bed.
Now, I will argue, the 8 o'clock Peacock game's dumb.
Yeah.
Absolutely dumb.
Yeah, that's
egregious.
That's 10:45.
That was
those
ridiculous.
Bad boys are in
well,
it.
Look, I know that nobody on the East Coast probably cares about this. I just that's always been the funny thing to me is I do genuinely feel like they're lopping off half of their audience with the 10 p.m. Eastern tip.
Instead of
moving them up
they've
slightly.
They've always done that.
I know. They haven't changed. I would, if I'm on the East Coast, I'm not watching a second of Blazers
that's
and Suns.
That's why East Coast sports
But you don't
fans.
Live on the East Coast.
I know that I don't.
I just love your whole argument is East Coast based and we live on the West Coast.
I still think 7 o'clock is too late, but it's also very selfish. I want to go to bed.
I know we're against it. I will make an argument in your favor, and I know Dusty kind of like poo-pooed it. I actually do think you're right. I do think the NBA should do more day games. During the regular season.
We used to live in this world where you couldn't start a game until a certain time because people had to get off of work and handle, like, dude, everything has changed. People work from home. We have, we share our building with another company.
Yeah.
There's nobody here on Mondays and Fridays.
Because they work remote.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, the place is absolutely packed. We're in unique spots where we're off work early. I go grocery shopping in the afternoon. It's crowded at like 11:30 on a Tuesday.
How early
so this idea of like, we can't start till 7, people are in the office. Like, dude, it's not 1994 anymore.
Early a game can start is more, that's more based on, okay, when can we actually get a crowd here?
Well, you need to schedule what the NBA should do, which would be
especially
really smart.
Especially if it's a playoff game, you want that thing full.
Yeah.
If you're starting too early,
my
and people
point is
can't
how many
there,
like
the local NBA teams should be teaming up with the local school systems and saying, "When's your in-service day? Day
Let's
game.
Schedule a day game go. That day. You need something for your kids to do on a Tuesday, and it's an in-service day.
Yeah.
Come to a Blazer game for $5,
dude.
Place is packed.
Yeah, have a kids' day.
People making people happy here. We're making money now.
We can't just be doing this on MLK Day. I like that we observe the day as a big holiday for the sport." But, like, you could have more day basketball.
You absolutely could.
MLK Day, I think there's a game on at, like, 10 a.m. our time.
Turn on day baseball. Well, I always have chuckled at this. Like, you can do it in baseball, but you can't do it in basketball. What's the difference? I know that one is outdoors and one is indoors.
Basketball is always go to as day a cocktail games. Evening party situation. Baseball is like the fat hot dog guy drinking a beer, being lazy.
I mean, look, I get it, but
that's
like,
how they society.
I turn on a 1 o'clock Giants game once a week, and I'm like, that's a decent crowd. Why are people working?
You're not wrong.
You could do it in the NBA. Yeah. 34 is old. Let's get to, speaking of which, do we care at all about this? Because there's another one, and we'll talk about that next. All right, we got the mail sack coming up top of the hour. Get your questions in, 503-864-6326. I'll try not yell at any more clouds today, but I can't guarantee anything. Nice looking sack so far. We'll see what continues to come in. Are we excited? Speaking of the play-in, we do have a game before our game tonight. We are round two of the double billing.
Mm-hmm.
And game one is the 9-10 game. I like how they can't do the same. They got to split it up 9-10 on one night.
I think that had to do more. Normally, they have the 7-8 games
That's
on the
I
same
thought.
Day. I think it had more to do with venues.
Oh, okay. The venue wasn't available?
Well, I'm thinking Philly because the Flyers played last night. I don't know if they have another game. So places where they share venues,
got it.
There might be an availability issue.
Well, tonight it is an elimination game in the Eastern Conference. Ironically, both these teams, the 9 and the 10, have better records than Portland this year. So it shows you how bad the bottom of the West was.
Yep.
That the 9 and the 10 both won. Miami was 43 wins. Charlotte 44. Portland has 42. Charlotte is a decent-sized favorite in this game. I know they've been a trendy, fun watch. Are we excited just to see Charlotte? Are we excited to see the end of Heat culture? Are we excited for the game at all? 9-10 in the East.
Yeah, I know that Eric Collins is going to be on the Prime Games, and we're set to have him on Thursday's program.
Now, is he calling our game or the Charlotte game tonight?
Depends,
or the Friday game?
He's calling
game.
The West Friday game, so it depends
West
if we win or
Friday
lose.
West Friday game. Okay,
if we lose, he will be on the call of the Blazer-Clipper-Warrior game.
Playing the official, winner-take-all.
I mean, I enjoy watching the Hornets. I would say the last 20 or so games, if I was home, you want to talk about early basketball?
Yeah, 4 o'clock start
the
time.
The Hornets were 4 o'clock, 4:30 start times most days when they were on for League Pass. I would turn those games on. And those were some of my most enjoyable games to watch this season is the Hornets. Now, they haven't been as hot lately. They were surging, and then they kind of slowed down. Con Knipple cooled off a little bit, but he still ended up leading the league in threes. And we'll see if he ends up winning Rookie of the Year out of this. LaMelo Ball is probably the story for them. They gave him a contract, and instantly everyone's like, whoa, they did not wait on that. And it looked dumb for a while. He had a moment this year where he crashed a car into another car stupidly because he's probably looking at IG models.
You're always going to have to worry about him off the court.
But if you actually just evaluate the basketball side, he's playing really good basketball.
His highlight tapes are up there among some of the best in the league.
Well, he's not doing the stupid stuff anymore. He was doing kind of the dumb and one mixtape stuff that you're like, why would you do that in an NBA game? He's like actually making sense with the style they want to play. And so they're feisty. They'll fight. Like, I love watching that team play. I know the Heat are here. Fear the Heat. Bam had 83. You know, Spo, all that stuff. I love the Hornets tonight. And I love the Hornets to make the playoffs. And I'm rooting like hell for them to make the playoffs. We won't get the Eric Collins home team games.
No.
But we'll still get a fun watch if we want to dabble in the 1-8 matchup. They won't beat the Pistons. But I would love to watch them play in the playoffs.
Okay, so we're in on a 4:30 tip. Swag, you excited? Hornets and Heat tonight?
Yeah, if I was going to be at home, I would totally be down with this. And like I said, do the Hornets – I expect the Hornets to win this game. I think the Heat
– Heat have experience, though, man.
They have experience. And in a one-game situation, somebody gets on a heater, who knows. But – if you want to say, who am I more interested in seeing in a 7-game first-round playoff series, it's by far the Hornets. I think the Heat are just at a crossroads with what they're trying to do with the franchise overall.
Yeah.
What direction are they trying to go? So the Hornets, they've now got a young nucleus and, you know, experience at this for how young they are is invaluable. Do you expect them to pull off miracles? No. Can they win a game or two in a 7-game series the way they've been playing? Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I'd like to see that.
Yeah, I mean, we saw last year Houston is a 2-seed in the West, right? They got bounced in the first round of the playoffs, and I don't know if that team exists in the East for people this year, but that's, I mean, we've seen upsets in the last, we've seen 8s over 1s, Miami a couple of years ago.
If they get the 1.
Injuries played a part.
Well, I mean, they would be the 8th seed if they climb
if they
their
climb,
way
I know,
in,
they would be the 8th seed.
But what's the history of those upsets tell you? That you have some upsets that don't, they're kind of outliers. To me, it's about who is the lower or highest seed team and who's got the experience.
Yeah.
So you mentioned
Houston didn't have it.
Yeah, exactly.
And Milwaukee, I think, was the one seed that lost, right?
They were the one seed that lost. Now,
Giannis got hurt
to Jimmy Butler, and Giannis also got banged up in that series, and the vibes of that team were crumbling. So and even think of the Warrior King one a couple years ago. That was the Light the Beam Kings. They were fun. They were the three seed. Here we go. Here comes Steph Curry and the Warriors. They're going to ruin everything for you. And they did.
And they did. They pulled it off. We'll get back into the Blazers and Suns coming up in the final hour of the show. Some final thoughts on that one. Obviously, Millsack coming up top of the hour, 503-864-6326. Get your questions in, and we'll answer them coming up 17 minutes from now. But something is out today, and we haven't talked about it yet, and I want to talk about it. And that's next on The Fam. All right, welcome back in. Mailsack coming up 12 minutes from now. Last call for questions, 503-864-6326. That is the Fan text line. We have a sponsor for the Mailsack today.
We do. We got new friends.
You know what they say. Yeah. Business is booming.
It's great. We're super excited to have them.
We also got Alleyway 44 as an East Coast Blazer fan saying, yeah, this start time blows chunks. I'm right there with you, Alleyway 44.
East Coast based.
I will stand with you.
Okay.
My brethren on the East Coast.
I mean, let's not act like you and I specifically would not be jacked out of our minds if we found out it was a 4 o'clock start time.
That's like, my whole point. Yeah. That's living the trust tree here.
Dinner
Move
time.
The game time
Game's
off,
over.
Dude. I eat dinner at 4:30. What do you want from me? Something is out today, and we haven't talked about it yet. Do you know what it is?
Your porn tape.
No, that hasn't come out yet, but it will eventually.
All 4 minutes of it.
Yeah, it didn't last that long. A lot of feet involved.
Because he's
weird.
Old.
Yeah. Well,
you know.
3 minutes own. Just trying to make it start.
I took the pill. Just wait. It'll kick
I might need to call our new sponsor.
You might need to call our new sponsor if you're feeling like dirt in a porn tape.
Hey, I'm old. What can I do to save it?
No, there's something else out today. Do you know what it is?
I'm assuming it's not a movie. You don't watch those. No.
I'm actually in on the movies lately. I saw Sinners finally. I saw Nuremberg. Pretty good movie. Russell Crowe is...
Oh, are you going to poo-poo Russell Crowe?
Russell Crowe was great. He did a good accent. It was him. I
need a nice guys too.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
They were so good, him and Gosling.
Well, it's different when you're trying to play somebody that's actually was a historical figure.
Yes. Have you seen Nuremberg?
I have not.
Okay.
And
was
I
he
should.
Napoleon or was that Joaquin?
No, Joaquin Phoenix was Napoleon. That movie blowed.
It blew?
Blooded? Blew?
Blow.
Would be the proper...
It blowed?
I like it blowed.
We got a new
You think
drop.
That's a W? Is it a W apostrophe D? Do you think
I
did there?
I don't
if
know.
If you're going to say it incorrectly, you
or
might
Or is it an ED at the
no.
end of it? No.
Apostrophe
no.
D.
Is it blue would be the proper... Is that what we're looking
blue.
For?
That if
blue.
I saw you in Mississippi, it was like, was that movie good? And you're like, it blowed.
It bloated it. It bloated it. It was really bad.
It blowed.
It was really bad. No, there's a documentary out today. Damn it.
Oh,
it comes out today. Ironically, on our first play-in night.
The Jailblazers.
The Jailblazer docs out.
On Netflix.
It came out today.
Oh, okay.
Wow, nothing, huh? Not even no reaction at all.
I saw the trailer.
Okay, so you're not going to watch it?
I'll watch it.
Okay.
There's people in that trailer I don't really want to watch.
I mean, yeah.
Who are you most...
We've been talking about this documentary for like 20 years.
I know.
Well, he was gone.
And now it's finally out, and it's just...
He was on spring break when the trailer came out, and we...
Oh, we played the whole thing. Yeah. We did multiple segments on that.
Is there one particular person that you are most interested in hearing from, either because you don't fully understand their perspective, or two, you never heard from them as much as you wanted when it was going on?
Well, we heard from the white journalists during that era the most. So I'm sure they're going to just repeat everything they said and wrote about.
Yes.
I am curious to hear the Dame Bonzi Sheed stuff, but this is why I'm kind of poo-pooing in tone.
Mm-hmm.
When you were out on your spring break, they did an All the Smoke podcast with Matt Barnes.
Yes, I saw it.
So they kind of already told me what they're going to say in
well,
this.
Well, I mean, I feel like I could have told you that. Yeah. I mean, what did we think they were going to say?
Well, but okay, so this is, okay, here's my thing. I'm going to watch it, so I don't mean to poo-poo your tease and your setup here.
We've been talking about this for years. We had
Since
the comment
Damon
from
said
Damon,
it
said it on the show, and it's like, I found it ironic that it's the first time we've played in a quote-unquote postseason game in a long time. It's the same day of the Jailblazer documentary. It's officially out on Netflix now.
I'm with you there. I'll probably race home, actually, because my wife's gone and my kids aren't at school today. I might end up putting this thing on as soon as I get home and watching it.
Yeah.
My only thing is this, and let's save it to see if I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Do we learn anything, or is this going to be exactly what we expect? The media is going to tell you how awful it was for the city, how fans were turned off by it, how they actually failed the responsibility and duties as pro athletes and role models. And then the other side is going to be racism.
Yeah.
Absolute racism.
That's how it's going to go.
And the piece for me that's most interesting that I saw is in it, and I'm curious how much he is in it, is Bob Whitsitt.
Well, he just released a book, and I actually lost an email. We could have interviewed him.
Oh, Bob, Trader Bob?
Trader Bob wrote a book, and I have 8,000 emails.
That's the interesting thing. Yeah. What was going through his mind as all of these different trades and opportunities to acquire all these guys? How much thought did he put into the basketball side of it? How either ultra complex was he playing chess, or does he was like, we just need more talent?
He tweaked too much. I mean, that they said that on the pod. They were like, we thought we had a team and we weren't allowed to build with it.
Should
he
have
just
given
kept
him more
making
time.
Too many moves.
But he's the one I'm truly, because I don't felt like I heard from him as much as.
Do you think we have Paul Whitsitt clips that we haven't seen or heard before, like training camp?
Maybe.
Or
from behind the scenes stuff?
Yeah, I'm kind of curious to see what Paul,
that's the
Paul's
piece
in
of it. Yeah, the media and players and disconnect.
That's going to be predictable.
I know all about that.
Right.
Yeah, you started at the fan, kind of at the tail end.
Yeah, I know.
The beginning and the tail end.
So,
I mean, some of those people in it will be insufferable because they were a huge reason why there was a wedge driven between the team and the fan base. And I'm not excusing the players' actions.
I'm more interested in the basketball thoughts of why to go after, these players. Were there other players they tried to get that they couldn't get? And so then they had to go to plan B or
C. I think they fell in love with celebrity, too. I don't think Whitsitt's going to say, I wanted Sean Kemp because it was – I just think there's an element
of – It was Sean Kemp. It was Scottie Pippen.
These were names. These were guys we were familiar
Steve
with.
Steve Kerr was a guy who had won a title.
I'm more curious about the mindset of what went into deciding to put all that together.
I also think it's a little, and I said this while you were out, I'll just tell you, I thought it was a little unfair and still think it's a little unfair how we categorize that. You say the Jailblazer, I think everybody's mind goes to the surprise 99 conference finals team, which they admitted, we couldn't believe. Damon was like, I didn't think we had a chance to be that kind of team. And then there we are.
Sean
Elliott
hits a
season.
Shot in game one, and you're like, oh my God, yeah.
And then you go to the Sheed's gone, Damon's gone. I think there's two different versions almost of that team, and we lump it in with the term Jailblazers because, they did get caught on I-5 in a yellow Hummer with the weed, and they woke up the next day, and the wife was mad at Sheed. What did you do? And he's like, what? Oh, okay. But also, I'm not going to pretend that she didn't get traded and we still didn't have stupid athletes here being a good team.
Darius Miles exists.
So, it's almost in a weird way. It's summed up as this long, stretching era. And it,
but
to
it's
me, was
different iterations,
different
of it.
Iterations of it. Yeah.
Yeah. The players came and went, but the era lasted, but it was different faces that were representing the era. And they were drastically different. So, I think your point about learning anything new, I can make that argument about a lot of documentaries. I watched the most recent one I watched was the Rory Augusta one from a year ago, and it was great. I love Rory. He won the Masters. Yeah. And there's little details maybe about his childhood that I didn't fully know.
The backstory.
The majority of the stuff I knew. And he told a little tidbit about him and Bryson on the ninth green that you're like, I didn't remember that at the time. Most of it for me is just about reliving something that I want to relive.
Yeah.
Or remembering something that it's been a long, it's been 20 plus years since that era came
now,
and went.
Now, did you watch the one right before it about Nicklaus's?
I have it on the DVR, but I have not watched it yet. And that's in the line of something that I was not alive for that I would learn something about. So those ones are very impactful for me.
That was kind of my first introduction to watching the Masters on
Yes, sir.
TV,
I mean, it's one of the most iconic Masters, if not the most iconic of all time. And so, there's some that will still do it for me. I'm not going to learn a ton tonight or today or whenever I end up watching it. I'm going to try and watch it today.
It's just reliving an era that you loved and then also
it's the last time we were good, man.
Well,
yeah.
They won 53 games, got to a conference finals, but from a competing standpoint.
Did you get if you didn't win a game? If you didn't win a game in the conference finals, did you go?
Don't tell the tonguer this. He went off yesterday about that conference finals team.
The 2019 team?
Yeah.
About what, good or bad?
Just how really good that team is.
Oh, tonguer, you disappoint me. You disappoint me.
Pride of Cleveland.
I thought we were simpatico here. I thought we were in the same line of thinking.
No, dude.
And now you're over here drinking the 2019 Kool-Aid.
He loved the 2019 Kool-Aid.
They didn't have KD and Steph, and they swept us.
Well, Steph came back in that series.
He did.
Remember the overtime game?
I remember blowing three consecutive double-digit leads like it was yesterday.
Steph came back, said, I'm back,
yeah, he did.
Won a game in overtime.
He killed
and
Paul
then
Allen.
Lost in the finals, and then everybody was like, well, Steph got hurt. And it was like, well, Steph was hurt.
He just,
was he?
You couldn't tell against us. 503-864-6326. Get your mail sack questions in. We'll start the final hour there next on The Fan.